definitely a cowboy vibe there.
It's hard to find Tommy James music when you can't play Tommy James music.
Yeah, exactly. But I love the vibe, man. You know, he's like, you know, the you can see the movie, you know, the Western, you know, mm-hmm. got the shot coming in from of the town. And,
yep.
You know, kind of people walk around, shuffling around, and dust flying up all over the place, and people walking in and out of the saloon and all that.
Right. I know you don't watch a lot of TV, but it's amazing the number of, like, Western-y type or outdoorsy type shows that have been trending lately ever since Yellowstone came out. Like, there's been this series. Taylor Sheridan, I think, is the director, creator of most of these. But, man, he, like, takes you all the way back to the Wild West. You're like, wow, we can't ever say we had it rough, you know?
Yeah, tell me about it. I don't watch it, but on the plane, you know, if I get tired, because I fly every week, so I get tired of watching the movie, so I go to the series, and I notice that, yeah, you're right. There's Yellowstone in 1812 or
1886.
Several Western themes. So mm-hmm. that seems to be making a comeback. That's great.
Yeah,
my dad loved Westerns, man. He was a huge, like, Clint Eastwood and Charles Bronson and those guys from back in the day when they were doing mm-hmm. the Westerns. He loved those.
Did he read the Louis L'Amour books and all that?
No. He just watched the movies. So. Yeah.
That was my dad. He usually had Louis L'Amour watching Gunsmoke and then listening to, you know, Willie and Waylon. So there was like a whole theme going on in the '80s.
Yeah. You know, I have to learn a little more about cowboy culture. You know, obviously, if you're from Texas or someplace like that, Oklahoma, you know, where you grew up around that, you know, it's probably, you know, more part of your DNA.
Sure.
You know, than most of the rest of us. But yeah, I think it's pretty interesting.
So true.
All right. I'm Deacon Hal Burke Simmons, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today is a Beacon of Truth playlist episode. Today's song, we're taking a look at Sweet Cherry Wine by Tommy James and the Shondells, released back in 1969. And would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, as you're adding to your reading for the new year, don't forget the Religious Catalog has tons of books for you to add and to find out what you're most seeking after. So learning contentment, something we all could use. We're finding peace right where you are. That's thanks to Marcus Groda. You can find it easily in the Religious Catalog when you go to EWTNRC.com.
All right, Sweet Cherry Wine. That's the song we're talking about today. Now, a little bit of a background. You can jump in here, too. Ace with this background. So this song was released by Tommy James and the Shondells. There was a couple other songs that you probably would recognize by them. This particular song was released back in 1969. So think about what was happening back then,
mm-hmm.
right? We're in the midst of the Vietnam War. You know, there's a lot of songs talking about, you know, anti-war or, you know, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of political strife going on, a lot of tension within the country back at that time. And then this song comes out. And what's interesting is that, you know, let's just be real. I mean, a lot of songs we hear, a lot of artists, there was a lot of drug use back at this time, a lot of psychedelic type of songs and a lot of artists doing psychedelic kind of drugs as well. Yeah. You know, so when you hear a song like this, you know, you would first think that, you know, this song was kind of influenced by that kind of culture. But very interesting, back in 2010, Tommy James was on the Christian Broadcast Network, and he said that, you know, when they asked specifically about this particular song, he said it was about the blood of Jesus. where other people assumed it was about drugs.
Yep.
He goes, no, it's about the blood of Jesus. I'm like, whoa, hold on. So this is one of the reasons why we're doing this song.
Yeah, well, and I love it too, because I mean, to think about the number of songs, you know, he had that one, Crystal Blue Persuasion, which a lot of people also thought was drug oriented, and he said, nope, mm-hmm. that's about God. His conversion actually took place in a hotel room with a Gideon Bible. you know, which we've heard that many, many times over the years. And of all books to do that, Ezekiel was the book that actually drew him in. And he's like, talk about God. He's like, I was big into UFOs then. And he's like, he goes, God knew exactly how to reach me. And there's some, you know, pretty crazy imagery going on in Ezekiel. Yep. But all of that to say, God reaches us where we are. And I love how there were so many songs in the 60s, especially, and 70s too, for that matter, of God's word making its way onto the airwaves and people just singing along like, oh, I love that song, not realizing till either they have their own conversion or they open up a certain part of the Bible they've never read before and go, wait, is that copywritten? You know, it's like it comes to life for them. And so to be able to think about songs that have done that for us, and again, these playlist editions are never to glorify a song, but if there's an artist, no matter who they are, that it has influenced the culture and we're seeing it one way, let's always make sure we're lining it up with God's word first, which is why we talk about some of these songs like Stairway to Heaven and Free Bird and whatnot. But this particular song is probably one that you never even realized was something that actually is a part of your own faith.
Yeah, that's right. And we also look the songs, you know, that have kind of a negative thing. Dear God by XTC, which is basically a letter to God from an atheist.
Right.
You know, that they're looking around the world. God, how come you don't do anything? And, you know, I don't believe in you. And, you know, the book is just, the Bible is just a bunch of fables. And, you know, we looked at that song, too, because, I mean, that's some of the feelings and the emotions of the culture, mm-hmm. you know, I love talking about that particular song too, but this is going to be a good one as well. Cause you listen to the song, you don't necessarily associate it with faith.
Yeah.
And then I said, we don't necessarily look at all faith based songs, but I love the fact that when the artist himself says, no, this is like Lenny Kravitz, right? When we talked the Lenny Kravitz song, mm-hmm. Are you going to go my way? Right.
Yep.
The one we looked at. Yeah. And that he's talking about, that was a song talking about faith as well. So it's great to connect these songs, which often have meaning for us, you know, and see, you know, through the, you know, not through the art, all the artist eyes, but through the eyes and the lens of faith.
Yeah.
You know, to make deeper connections with the music that has really helped to form and shape a lot of the way we think and feel.
Yeah. And I know, you know, growing up, there was always this, you know, when you became a Christian, you know, okay, now do I have to relinquish all of my musical taste?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to sell or burn all of my vinyl records and so forth? And obviously there is a period of cleansing and then Holy Spirit saying, okay, you don't need that in your life because A, it's either influencing your decisions on the way it shaped your mind and actions, or B, it is distancing you from God because you're almost like putting the band or the style of music as an idol into your life, which is very, as a music lover, I know I've been guilty of this. And again, just like we have to have work-life balance, you have to have that musical balance in your life. It can't all be, I mean, after a while, you eat so much sugar, you know, you get sick, you know, so you have to be able to balance it with, you know, God's word. You have to be able to balance it with worship music or Christian music or hymns or whatever it is that draws you closer to God. Because again, I love when a song, it could even be a Beatles song. If it prompts my faith in the moment, then I know God's trying to get my attention. And he's oftentimes used secular songs, worship songs, you know, movie quotes, anything to like, hey, look at me, I'm talking to you, you know? And so that's what I love about music. And we talk about this and it's almost memeable, I think, at this point, of that music is the expression. We are singing our emotions. You know, if emotions could say what we're feeling, how many times have you heard a song or you've dedicated a love song to a girlfriend or boyfriend and you're like, yeah, that's what I've been trying to say, but I didn't know how to say it. And that's what's great about music is it says the things that our heart's trying to say, but we can't really form the words because the emotion is overwhelming, or maybe we're just not as fluent in communication yet, right? So anytime that it is shaping our minds, we want to make sure that it's shaping it closer to God.
Yeah, and what we want to avoid is demonizing music. You know, what was that? I forget the denomination, whatever, the Holy Rollers, that, you know, music is from the devil, like rock
right.
music is from the devil, and like, stuff like that. Well, okay. You know, obviously there's some music that glorifies the culture,
yeah.
that glorifies hedonism, that glorifies vices, you know, that may be true, or there may be like a at least from the outside, I almost have like a satanic kind of a thing to it. You know, I think of like Slipknot, right, with all those weird masks that they wear and stuff like that. And, you know, so there may be some elements of that there. But, you know, God can use, I think, any kind of music. So, like, for example, when I'm listening to Niccolo Paganini's Concerto in D minor, you know, it's very different feel, and how that hits my heart differently than Lap of the Gods by Queen, which is probably my favorite Queen song of all time.
Right.
You know, which is hits me different than the song we talked about the other day, like Uncle Albert by Paul McCartney.
Right.
I mean, so all those songs, I love all those songs, but they hit your heart differently. And that ties into evangelization. Sometimes when you're trying to get a message across, like to a teenager or a young adult, you as the parent, you're trying, but they're tuning you out. There has to be a different person with a different a sheet of music singing off of it, right? They're hearing the message, but they're hearing it differently.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe your song is not the one hitting them, but this other song that has the same kind of vibe, but they're hearing it because it's hitting their heart differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think music does that, but also definitely connected with our faith and the way we share the faith with others.
Well, and it also draws the idea of that if you don't feel like you're great at evangelism, can you at least share the song that impacted you when you were at your lowest? Like, oh, you know, this song really brought me out of a slump, or this was really the one that, you know, showed me where I was that I would, you know, been led astray or whatever. Because that, again, is evangelizing. And then that person goes to check out the song, and who knows what impact it could have on them at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And you know, it's very interesting. I'm going, what I find myself doing now is going back and listening to songs that I used to listen to when I was younger,
right,
like, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And back then I was listening, you know, as a musician, I was listening for the guitar,
right?
I was trying to learn a guitar part, or with Queen, I was trying to learn a vocal part or something like that, like the, you know, a harmony part or something. But now I find myself now going back and listening to the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know, or I'll go back and listen to the drums, you know, because I've been into drums, not playing, but just like I really have been appreciating drummers lately.
As you should.
But also going back and listen to the lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, say, ah, oh, I mean, it really those songs are the same songs that I've heard forever and ever, listening to them differently now because I'm focused on a different aspect of the song.
Right.
And so it never, just like our faith, it's the same faith, but it never gets tired.
Well, and they, you know, joke about this a lot. Some songs don't age very well, you know. So, you know, like in the 80s, there was like a song by Winger, She's Only 17. I mean, that doesn't translate well when you're singing that 30 years later, any more than it was necessarily appropriate then. But, you know, again, you can hide the evil behind a catchy lyric, right? And that's what music sometimes does, is it influences our lifestyle, it influences our brain, and then we think, oh, I now have an excuse of why I've done what I've done. No, okay.
Yeah, see?
You can't blame the song, but it definitely played a role.
Exactly. Well, Sweet Cherry Wine by Tommy James and the Shondells is our song for the Beacon of Truth playlist episode today. And this song is actually about the blood of Christ. Would love to hear from you. 833-288 EW10, that's 833-288-3986.
A little more Tommy James-esque.
Yeah.
Woo. The woodblock, the entry to every drummer's life. Just like the recorder brings everyone else into the chord progressions and scales.
Oh, man, you talk about the recorder. I was walking this morning, and I had a beautiful memory. I don't know. I mean, it's just sometimes I walk, I just open my mind, and, you know, and I'm thinking about things. But today, for some reason, I was thinking about, I must have been 9.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 10, but I think I was closer to 9 years old. And I remember my dad was writing songs in the basement, and I went down just to hang out with him. And he wanted to make a song, right, with me and my brother. And so I was learning to play the recorder at that time. And so he took out his guitar and he just made up a song on the spot about our home country, Barbados. And the chorus was Barbados is nice, Barbados is paradise. And he would just like it's like a simple 3-4 chord progression on the guitar, and then we would sing the chorus and play the recorder in between, and then he goes, you know, take it. And I remember doing a little solo. I was like, oh my, I remember that. And then we recorded it.
Yeah.
I so wish I had that recording today. I would, well, not kill, but
it's somewhere. Yeah.
Just to hear just my father singing and me singing as a kid with him and playing and. You know, that's such a great memory that came into my mind and heart today and really lifted me up, you know, for today's show, because we're talking about the Beacon of Truth playlist episode today.
Yeah.
So
it's great. My son, who's also a composer and he's been dabbling in lyrics and stuff, he has a YouTube channel that when he creates something, he'll post it and then, you know, his friends can come in and, you know, remix it or whatever. And it's cool because then he doesn't feel embarrassed to come play something for us, or if we hear him playing something and come in and tell him that it's great, because, you know, again, he's almost 15, so it's like, you know, separates, you know, I don't want my dad to, you know, be giving encourage. I'm fine. Don't look, don't listen. But it's cool because then we can listen to it and I'll go, hey, did you listen to Ryan's song today? Yeah. You know, so it's cool when they learn that creative gene early on and then let it express themselves.
Yeah, so true. I'm Deacon Halberg, Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth, and today is a Beacon of Truth playlist episode. Today's song that we're going to take a look at is Sweet Cherry Wine. This was a song that was released back in 1969 by Tommy James and the Shondells. And interestingly enough, this song is about the blood of Jesus. According to the writer of the song, Tommy James, in a 2010 interview on the Christian Broadcast Network, the CBN, kind of the Protestant version of EWTN. So it's very interesting. We'll take a look at that song today. Would love to hear from you about, you know, maybe the impact of Christ's blood in your life, you know, being covered by the blood of Christ, or, you know, the impact of the sacrifice that Christ made in your life. Would love to hear from you and your thoughts on this awesome song. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
If you didn't get a chance to attend SEEK 26 this year, that's okay. We're giving you the best of some of the keynotes. Matter of fact, part 3 coming up this Thursday right here on EWTN Radio. You can get some of the closing keynotes that really inspired young Catholics to really empower their faith and take it to the next level, evangelizing, all kinds of great insights. You can also find it on our YouTube channel, search Radio EWTN, and get set for SEEK 26 Best of this Thursday.
All right. And that's just SEEK from Columbus, right?
Because
I don't think they have my talk.
No Best of Deacon Harold, sorry.
Yeah.
That's another day.
All right. Well, Beacon of Truth playlist episode today, my friend, Sweet Cherry Wine by Tommy James and the Shondells, released back in 1969. We're going to go and walk through the song now. So you may want to go back and take a listen to it. But again, very interesting. The author of this song, Tommy James, says this is about the blood of Christ. In fact, he wrote several songs about his conversion, about his faith, and, you know, and in the midst of the Vietnam War and all the things that were going on in our country at that time, you know, this song comes out and actually did very well. But I had to go back and listen to it. It's been a minute since I listened to this song, but it brought back some wonderful memories. And I would love to hear from you. This song is about, obviously, it's not about a Catholic take on the blood of Christ, but still, you know, the fact that someone would write a song, Sweet Cherry Wine, you talk about, we consume the blood of Christ and the holy sacrifice of the Mass, you know, and so that blood of Christ transforms us. So we hear, you know, colloquially, I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb, you know, so the power of Christ's blood. And would love to hear your comments and thoughts today on the Beacon of Truth playlist episode, Sweet Cherry Wine by Tommy James and the Shondells. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, as we start into the lyrics, I love this first verse. Everyone, we got to get together now. I mean, can't ask for a better call to action than that. Love's the only thing that matters anyhow. And the beauty of life can only survive if we love one another. And I can't think of also another verse that probably we need more in our nation than this verse.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah. And I love this for a couple of reasons. Again, given the fact what was going on back then when this song came out, Vietnam War, and you look at what's going on now, you know, the hatred and the vitriol and the division and the divisiveness and the anger in so many different aspects of politics and other avenues in life as well. You know, and here's a song that talks about bringing people together. And I love if we love one another. What does Jesus say? He gives the commandment, love one another as I have loved you. To see each and every person through the eyes and through the lens, the way Christ sees them, to, love with the heart of Christ. You know, that's more of that, please. More of that, please. So, I mean, you know what would be great? Maybe you could do this, Ace. Remake this song.
All right.
You know, and kind of put it into a 21st century context.
Yeah. Well, and as I also was looking at the lyrics specifically without necessarily singing it in my head today, and I like to do this with songs anyway, is anywhere we have the mention of love, you know, we're taught in our faith that God is love. Right.
First John 4:16.
Yeah. Yep. So if we replace even just the word love. So if he says love's the only thing that matters anyhow, God's the only thing that matters anyhow.
That's right.
He says if we love one another, if God one another, if he lives in us and is a part of us, then that's a way for us to show the world that there is not only a God that loves us and wants to help us through, but also no matter how crazy times are, no matter how much now emulates or is worse than the 60s, depending upon who you talk to, it really comes down to giving it to God, the peace that can only come from him, the understanding that can only come from him. And even all of that's not going to be all of this side of heaven, but just in the pursuit of that, of knowing that, hey, I'm just trying to love like Jesus. I'm just trying to, you know, show the world that God is crazy about them.
Yeah. Exactly. And I love, again, not overly, but the beautiful reference to God's love and how we have to emulate God's love. And that's the whole thing, being made in the image and likeness of God in Genesis 1:27.
Yeah.
The idea is that we're supposed to reflect God's life, right? And so I think he's getting that sense across here as well.
Yeah.
Love that. All right, we'd love to hear from you. We're talking in this Beacon of Truth playlist episode. We're taking a look at Sweet Cherry Wine by Tommy James and the Shondells. Would love to hear from you because this song, according to the author of the song, the writer, is about the blood of Christ. So we'd love to hear the impact of Christ, the love of Christ and his blood in your life. You know, we talk about being covered by the blood of the Lamb, that the blood of Christ saves us, you know, and would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Bernadette is calling from Northern California, listening on Sirius XM 130. Bernadette, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi there. Thank you. I listen to your show as much as I can. I love it. It's so upbeat and happy. 1969, Sweet Cherry Wine, I met my husband. And 54 years later, we had a wonderful marriage. He recently passed away.
Oh.
And I never knew that that was the meaning of that song. I mean, we used to dance to it, and we loved it, and that was our song.
Mm.
And he was a non-Catholic. I was a Catholic at the time. And when he died, he was a Catholic, and he had a priest with him. He had apostolic anointings, and you know, it was a wonderful life, all because of that beautiful song.
Hmm.
Wow. So and now, first of all, I'm sorry to hear about the loss of your husband. I know that's difficult. You know, two of you are one, right? And now you're looking back with beautiful memories of a wonderful life together with him for 54 years. And so when you met, this was kind of your guys' song. Was this something that was at your wedding reception?
No.
Okay.
It was it's kind of a funny story. I didn't go out at all, and you know, at that time, and some friends of mine who were surgery nurses, and they're kind of a little crazy, and they said, "You're going out." So So we're going out dancing. So we went out to this dance place, and I was sitting at the table, and this man walked over, and he said, "Isn't your name Susie?" And I said, "No, my name is Bernadette." And, you know, that's how we met. And he said, "Would you like to dance?" And that's the song that was playing was our song. Oh. And we danced, and that was the beginning of the love story.
Oh, wonderful. Love
classic
that.
Line, guys. If you ever want to meet the woman across the room, get their name wrong, and then you meet them.
Yeah, I know.
Works every
time. I know, and it works.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, what a beautiful story. Thank you so much, Bernadette. And again, look, a song like this, right? Look, the meaning, right?
Yeah.
This meant so much to Bernadette. This was the song that was playing when her future husband asked her to dance and lived a beautiful life together, you know, and just never know the impact of music in a life. It's awesome.
Yeah, well, and I love when, you know, so many times songs, you know, you attach it to a relationship and then when they end, you don't like that song anymore. But I like to kind of reclaim it as like, okay, I'm healed from that, you know, was once what I thought was my be all end all. Or if it's your one true love, you have the song that forever is like there. You know, when Tawny and I hear our song, which is Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. From Frankie Valli in the
song.
Four Seasons.
Yeah.
And as soon as that horn, as soon as it starts to swell, every time, man, even talking about it right now, like I could mist up. But it hits because that song, The Night I Proposed, the DJ had none of the songs on my list. So I love when God appoints your song and then you realize the impact that it's going to have. You know, and that song kind of goes on a, you know, you know, where it's kind of down tempo, chilled on the verses, and then the chorus is kind of danceable and dun, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. So, without derailing our playlist edition, that's the beautiful thing about when you have a song with someone, whether it's a friend or your spouse, like it attaches itself deeply for a reason.
Yeah, our song was "Love You to the Letter" by Anita Baker. That was our song. Yeah, because we had a long distance relationship. We used to write letters back before email and all those fancies and text and all that stuff. Now we used to actually write letters.
There's a box somewhere.
Yeah, there is. She still has all of them too. So our song at our wedding was "Love You to the Letter." All right, we're talking about "Sweet Cherry Wine" by Tommy James and the Shondells, and let's dive into verse 2. Now, oh yeah, yesterday my friends were marching out to war. Oh yeah, listen now, we ain't marching anymore. No, we ain't gonna fight. Only God has the right to decide who's to live and die. Wow.
He just straight up called it out, didn't he?
Wow. You know, now obviously this is in the context of war, but oh my goodness, that last line, only God has the right to decide who's to live and who's to die. When you think about what's going on in our culture today, abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, in vitro, and I mean, all the, human sex trafficking, all these different things, you know, and everybody says, you have to exercise my right. And they associate rights with freedoms without duties and responsibilities that go with those rights, you know? And so we think we can exercise authority and rights over others for our pleasure and gratification or to somehow better ourselves by stepping on the backs or stepping over someone else. No, we don't have the right to decide. And I loved it because it's so apropos for today. Only God has the right to decide who lives and who dies.
Yeah. Well, and I've never been in the military, but I have really close friends of mine who have, and they would be the first to say, it is a calling. It is, you know, and I always say, how is your mindset when you know war is going on or you're called into battle or, you know, whatever it is. And they would easily say, I had to give it to God every time. Because if it was my time while I'm over there fighting and serving and whatever, then it's my time and that was what was meant. But at the same time, that doesn't give your family peace back at home. you know. Yeah. But I think that's where we have to go when times get crazy, when time seems chaotic. And it's like, okay, the world goes to hell in a handbasket, Lord. Why are you allowing this to happen? But he chooses who lives, who dies. He knows and is aware. He doesn't wake up and go, wait, what happened overnight? He is fully in control of what's happening. No matter how much the world may feel like is out of his hands, it is not.
And that's exactly why I don't watch television.
Yeah,
exactly what you just said. I mean, people get upset, they get worried, they get angry over things you can't control.
Sure.
Then you whine about who's in this person, that person in charge, this politician, that then this leader, that CEO, that look. Ultimately, in me, in my heart, what gives me the rest is knowing that God is in charge.
Yeah.
You know, so what we have to do is just let's all carve our own niche. You know, God has given us specific responsibilities, specific duties. We all have our different talents.
Yeah.
Let's use those talents to glorify God and to love God and our neighbor as ourselves, which I think is the sense of getting across in this song, too. Sweet Cherry Wine, that's our Beacon of Truth playlist song today. And as we go through the song, any thoughts that come into your heart about the, you know, and we're going to dive into the lyrics right now that talk about, you know, the actual Sweet Cherry Wine and what the author of the song said that that is. But we'd love to hear from you today. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
Now, of course, as we get into the chorus, the first half, he gave us sweet cherry wine, obviously referencing to God. It's so very fine. We'll drink it right down, pass it all around. It's stimulating and intoxicating. Now, of course, you can easily think wine, intoxicating, alcohol.
Yeah.
But being drunk in the spirit is pretty amazing for any of us that have ever experienced when God's power just takes over you in those moments. And I think that when we're in the midst of communion, that is a moment that we allow for God to enter us in a way that he doesn't enter us any other time, and to really take it to heart. What is it that you know, you are what you eat, right? We say that on a regular basis about the foods that are in our kitchen. It's definitely that way when it comes to communion and how we're understanding what sacrifices were made as he sacrificed his body so that we could then one day be with God and have that love and understanding and relationship with him. And so, again, the intoxication of communion may almost seem sacrilegious, but that truly is what's happening.
Yeah. And so, obviously, you know, we're not trying to change the song to criticize the author. Obviously, he's writing this song. He wasn't Catholic, right?
Right.
And so we can look at it through the lens that you just looked at it, which is great, which I think leans more toward the author's intention when he wrote this song. But looking at it through a Catholic lens, you know, he gave us sweet cherry wine. Now, obviously, you know, we talk about the blood of Christ and consuming the blood of Christ, you know, which is it looks like wine, but it's truly for us as Catholics, it's the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he says we drink it right down, pass it all around, right? Because the blood of Christ was shed for everyone. And so, we should be evangelizing, witness to our faith to the point where people feel they want to be part of the union, part of the community, to bring us together around the body of Christ, particularly yeah. around the sacraments of the church. Because everyone's going to feel so fine drinking sweet cherry wine. So they're not going to feel fine, you know, drinking alcohol that's going to intoxicate and get drunk and get sick. Yeah. But he's talking about the blood of Christ, because it's the blood of Christ that brings us together as a family, as a community, you know, around the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus. And so as Catholics, we can take this and say, oh, yeah, OK, it's not exactly the way we would phrase it, but I can totally see myself and my faith and my life in this song.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, a lot of times, you know, you can't get into the theological aspects of what's happening in communion, but he's even drawing in as the chorus continues, sweet cherry wine all day and night. Everybody's going to feel so fine. Drink sweet cherry wine. Yes, they will. And I think as we come together for communion, as we come together as a community, as a body, that within itself reminds us that he's bringing us together in every element, that they're strategically placed in our lives for that, to do this together.
Absolutely. All right, we're talking about Sweet Cherry Wine on the Beacon of Truth playlist episode today. Would love to hear from you. This is a song written by Tommy James and the Shondells. Sweet Cherry Wine, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Kevin is a first-time caller calling from Libertyville, Illinois, listening on WSFI. Welcome, Kevin, to Beacon of Truth.
Hello, Deacon. How are you?
Doing well. Great to hear from you.
Yes. Well, I loved hearing of the significance, the religious and spiritual significance of that song. And I'm old enough to remember 1969. It was kind of the summer of love, which unfortunately was kind of the opposite of this song. It really was promoting free love back in those days, and started to, you know, we as a culture and a society started to lose the significance of, and I think your co-host there mentioned it, that God is love. And we started creating all sorts of other ideas of about what love is, and nice to have songs and music that would draw us back to who God really is, and find you know, and again, as you said, that anytime you see the word God, you can substitute the word love, and anytime you hear the word love, you can substitute God and find a much more significance and much more meaning.
Mm. Yeah, excellent, excellent point. You know, and I love the way that, you know, when artists do that, you know, when they want to get their faith across, they do it in a way that's non-threatening. Because what you don't want to do is, you know, create a song that's maybe sometimes so overt that it pushes people away.
Yeah.
You know, so writing a song like this, you're in a sense masquerading it, but making it appealing so people, like we're doing now, drawing out the deeper meaning from the song.
Yeah, and artists will oftentimes, you know, I've seen this with groups like Creed and The Fray and many others, Switchfoot, of course, but Switchfoot started in Christian music, crossed over and back. But they will say things in a way because they want to reach the masses and then let God connect those dots rather than them going, by the way, this song is about. And sometimes artists will even do that where they'll go, well, I don't really want to tell you what my interpretation of where I was when I wrote it. That's for the audience to decide. And I love that because, again, meeting people where they are, that's what Jesus did. That's where God is with us daily. And so no matter what song it is, what artist it is, where you are, he can get through our stubbornness with anything based on where we are. He knows where we are. So leaving that creative element to it then allows those dots. So when the veil is lifted, you go, ah, it was God all along.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even this next verse here, watch the mountains turn to dust and blow away, right? Obviously, what was going on? Cold War, threats of all the nuclear stuff happening, especially in the midst of war, all that stuff is happening. People are still remembering, you know, World War II at this time. Are they going to use the bomb again? So all these fears, and he's playing into that, you know? And he says, oh, Lord, you know. There's got to be a better way, you know, and the old masquerade is no soul parade. Ooh, love that. Marching through the ruins of time. Wow. Again, talking about the timelessness of God, right? So God transcends all the stuff that's going around. So the more I think we focus on God, and we can see our way through the difficulties of life.
Yeah. And I love the old masquerade. You know, as I was talking about, the veil that's lifted is that we masquerade around thinking that we have either life figured out or love figured out or relationships or who we are or, you know, why we fail. But really, it's when we take those things to God that he's like, this happened because I needed this to happen. And this happened because this is going to happen. Like those things start to make sense. And you're not just living behind the mask anymore. You're not just saying, I got it figured out. You're like, I know I don't have it figured out, which is why I need God so that he can help me with those decisions.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. And, you know, in the last few lyrics, he goes, he gave us sweet cherry wine. Mm. Very interesting lyric there. To save us, he gave us sweet cherry wine, which again, Tommy James says the blood of Christ.
Yes.
Right. In order to save us. That, again, very Catholic there. Love that.
Amen.
Love that. All right, man. I love these Beacon of Truth playlist episodes. We'll have another Beacon of Truth playlist Speaking of Tooth playlist episode for you next month. Well, tomorrow is Wednesday. You know what that means, my friends? Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's Word for the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, remember, you can stream today's show and all the Beacon of Truth episodes by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. Until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.